promotion and how we've introduced this time this morning, our theme is From Death to Life. That's not normally how we understand those two words to go. That's kind of in the flip-flopped order from what we're used to. Lots of you have had the unfortunate experience of having to say goodbye to somebody that you love who physically passes from life to death. Had this experience in a very personal way as I sat at my grandmother's bedside. Loved my grandma, had a great relationship with her, especially in the last years of her life. But she had a tumor the size of a football in her abdomen, which we didn't realize until her operation, and her body at the age that she was at wasn't able to recover from such significant trauma. And so after about a month of sitting in a skilled nursing facility and things not getting better for her, my mom and I sat there at her bedside and cried and prayed and just remembered her as we elected to turn the machines off that were keeping her alive, and had the ominous, heavy experience of watching my grandma pass from life to death physically. The truth is that's not something that has only happened a few times. That's happened countless times throughout the course of human history. And the reality also is that that's our end. Every one of us will be there. I know that the younger you are, the less likely it seems that you'll ever find yourself considering the reality of physical death. But every one of us is headed that direction. But as our theme suggests, as you heard from the life of Jeremy and his testimony, there is a way. There is a way, in a significant, substantial way, to pass from death to life. And I want to convince you that passing from death to life is not something that you need to worry about someday when you die. This is something that you need to be concerned about right here and right now. In fact, I believe the reason that you're sitting here, whether you meant for this or not, is because God wants to make crystal clear to you that you need to pass today from death to life. What I want to share with you is what I mean by that and how that is possible from a single verse of Scripture. If you're one of those people who like the Cliff Notes version or it made just really simple, then you're going to love this morning, because that's what we're going to talk about. How do we pass from a single verse of Scripture from death to life? And it's from John 5:24. If you saw some people with a gray shirt on, you may have seen this plastered on their back. And here's the verse. Let me just kind of set some background for you. Jesus, in this moment in the Bible, in the book of John, has just performed a miracle. Now, the Bible records lots of these, but this one was especially unique because he went to a place called Bethsaida. He healed a man who'd been an invalid for 38 years, hadn't moved for 38 years. Now, you know, if somebody gets healed from a cold, that's impressive. You know, if somebody's sprained ankle is all of a sudden well, that's cool. This guy hadn't moved for 38 years. I mean, this was a clear, undeniable, bona fide miracle. The people who saw this man moving should have been shocked to think, I've watched that guy lay there his whole life, and now he's moving. So here this guy is walking around with his mat. He gets the attention of the religious leaders who said, you shouldn't be doing that. When what they should have been saying is, I can't believe you're walking. And so they come to Jesus, and he has this discourse, and he's explaining to them, listen, I know you guys didn't like the fact that I did this on the Sabbath, and that this guy's walking with his mat on the Sabbath, but let me tell you something even more important that you need to hear. And in this discourse, when Jesus is saying, I do the works of my Father, which they didn't like either, because when Jesus says, God is my Father, what he was saying was, I'm equal with God. I'm the second member of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in this conversation, he utters these words, and here's what he says, John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. He opens up this statement with the words, truly, truly, I say to you. Now, these words are throughout the Gospels, but especially in John, Jesus uses this to introduce a solemn statement that he believes is incredibly important and absolutely true. And so it's almost as if Jesus, before saying what he's going to say, says, listen to me very carefully. What I'm about to say could change the whole course of your life. And I would wonder if you would just hear those words as if Jesus is speaking to you this morning. Truly, truly, I say to you, listen carefully. I have something that can change your life. And here's what he says. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me. Not just hears, not just is acquainted with, but who hears my words and believes him who sent me. See, Jesus is not just interested in us being acquainted with him and some of his teaching and some of his ideas and some of his morals that we kind of check the box. I kind of associate with Jesus. No, he wants us to believe that they're absolutely true and they shape your life. If you're a Christian, if you follow Jesus, I mean, it should alter the whole course of how you live. Jesus' words are that powerful. And to believe that Jesus is sent from the Father, to believe him who sends me, is to believe that there is a Father who sent his Son. Which means that Jesus is unique in that he's completely and fully God. He wasn't just a man. He was God sent among us. Which means he's 100% divine, and therefore his words can be trusted. Secondly, for God to send his Son into the world means that Jesus is also human. He came like us, flesh, blood, human soul. He became like you in every way. God gets you. He lived a genuinely human experience, yet without sin. Jesus was totally unique. And because Jesus was unique, that's why his words are reliable. That's why they're powerful. That's why we should listen to him, because there's no one else in human history like him. He's totally unique. He is the God-man, as we say. And Jesus' words are reliably recorded for us in Scripture. Jesus has ascended into heaven, yes, but he's left us a reliable testimony by which we can know what he says and know who he is. And to know him personally. Now, I know a lot of people want to question the reliability of the Bible. There's a lot of arguments and statements out there that would be used to undercut its authenticity. But trust me. Search it out for yourself. Any scholarly exploration into the reliability of the Bible will yield that it is by far and away the most reliable ancient document that we have. In fact, if you've seen the movie that's out recently called The Case for Christ, that was the attempt of a single man. He was kind of perturbed that his wife had become a believer, and so he had set out as a faithful journalist to disprove the resurrection, to prove that the testimony of the scriptures were false. And guess what happened? He found out, I can't find holes in the reliability of this document, and if it is true and reliable, it has implications for my life. See, once you come to terms with the reality of and reliability of Jesus' words, then you have to ask the question, what do I do with them? What benefit is there to believing the word of Jesus? Well, look what he says. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has what? Has eternal life. Eternal life. This verb is in the present tense, which means that eternal life isn't what we typically think of. We typically think of eternal life as something you get when you die. That it's some kind of afterlife thing. And that all Christianity is about is, you know, making sure you don't burn when you die. Like that's what we typically think of. It's in the present tense, though. Eternal life is not just a someday life, it's a life now. But I believe the best kind of life that you can enjoy this side of heaven is the eternal life that Jesus Christ offers. But the best kind of life that you can enjoy is one rightly connected to the God who made you. Does that mean being a Christian means that you get all the things that you want or that your life is easy? No, of course not. But you have a deep, abiding satisfaction that is wrapped up in being connected to the thing that truly satisfies your soul, God Himself. Friend, this is what you were made for. You didn't bring yourself into existence. You were designed. This God understands every fabric of your being, and here's how He made you: to be connected to Him. To try and live life disconnected or separate from God is to walk in brokenness, because that's not how you were made. You were designed to know this God and to walk with Him. But here's what happens if we don't reconnect with the God who made us. We try and find everything else to fill that gap. That's why you keep searching for it in all these different places, and you keep stuffing your life with whatever you can find: comfort, pleasure, wealth, popularity, success, relationships. I mean, you're looking for something to satisfy you. And as you bounce from one thing to another, you realize you haven't found it yet. The reason being is that that hole you're trying to fill is insatiable. You can't fill it with finite stuff. There is but one who can fill the insatiable longing of your soul, and it is your Maker. It's God Himself. In fact, Saint Augustine discovered this as a young man. In his reckless pursuit of happiness, he finally came to the understanding that is this: our heart is restless until it finds its rest in Thee. Are you restless here this morning? Has your heart found the rest that it's truly looking for? If it is, then your search hasn't been complete. If you're still looking, then you haven't found what truly satisfies your soul. And I chased for many years as a young man, as Jeremy did, whatever I could find to stuff in there to satisfy my soul. And I'll tell you from my own personal experience, there's but one who satisfies the deep longings of our soul. It is, in fact, God Himself. But believing Jesus' word isn't just about what you get. And you get something pretty amazing. Eternal life is, again, what your heart longs for. But it's also something that you avoid. This is perhaps the serious part of the message. He says, whoever hears my words and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment. You see, to come into eternal life and then to an all-satisfying relationship with God is also to not come into judgment. But then flip it around, though. The question then is, but what happens if I don't receive the eternal life that God offers? And that is a choice before you. What if I choose to try and go it alone and figure it out for myself? Well, this verb is also in the present tense, which means every one of us born into this life is born under judgment, labeled for destruction. We were all born into this life because of sin, separated from God. And because of that separation, the just desert that we have because of our sin is judgment. So what about you here? If you've done nothing in response to Jesus' words, then you are now presently under judgment, which means that you are awaiting a time when God will fully and finally set all things right, and He will deal with all sin and all sinners as He restores all that He's made back to the way that He originally. be one of us who God says, well, you know what? You lived a pretty good life. You haven't messed things up. No, no, we all have. And then we shouldn't have to be convinced of this, right? Just watch the news. Or just kind of look backwards in your past or look at the relationships around you and you should see brokenness pretty prevalent. Whether it's addiction, fractured relationships, envy, greed, atrocities in our world that just boggle our minds, slavery. I mean, our world is broken, is it not? Here's the Bible's answer. That's sin. We've got warped hearts that are selfish, and when we walk in that selfishness, we mess up everything around us. We just do. And the reason why God needs to deal with sin, because he doesn't want it to stay like this. God's original design and creation is good. That there is a possibility of relationship with God and each other and with our world that doesn't screw everything up. And God wants to take it back to that place, but he's got to deal with sin first. And if we don't respond to his provision for our sin, then we're presently under judgment and we'll bear it ourselves. And that's bad news. And I'll tell you, I didn't get into ministry or become a preacher because I like talking about bad news. But I bring up the bad news because I'm about to tell you some really, really good news for you today. You may be realizing even now that I've done nothing, which means therefore I am presently under judgment. That is bad news, but there is good news. The verse isn't done yet. He does not come into judgment, Jesus says, but has passed from death to life. You see, death is a word that the Bible uses to talk about this judgment, this separation from God, this missing out on the all-satisfying life that God has for us. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. Like what you get paid for how you've contributed to the brokenness is death and separation from God. He's holy, we're not. He can't tolerate sin. If we're going to be in relationship with him, something has to be done about that offense. Otherwise, we rightfully deserve separation from him, which ultimately ends in judgment, an eternal death that the Bible very horrifically and solemnly refers to as hell. And again, that's bad news. But the good news is that there is hope to pass from judgment and death into the eternal life. And how is that possible? Because somebody already passed from death to life. When there was no hope, it seemed, when the perfect Son of God hung bloody on a cross, as we just remembered on Good Friday. And do you know what he was doing there? He didn't belong there. Jesus was the only perfect human. He was the only one who got it right. He was the only one who obeyed the Father. And do you know what the wages were for his perfect obedience? A bloody cross. Not because that's what he deserved, but because he loves you. He was willing to take your place. He was willing to hang where you deserve to hang. He was being your substitute. Would that be a bad end to a story if that's how it closed? But Jesus didn't stay dead, church. The stony tomb that he was laid into on Good Friday opened up on the early morning of Easter Sunday, and out walked Jesus alive. It was a womb giving birth to the risen Son of God.
have no hold over my people any longer. He was victorious. And make no mistake, Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, never to die again. He is the enduring example that eternal life is possible, that it exists, and it is found only in him. Only he beat the grave, and only connected to him can you. And he ascended alive into heaven. He's alive today. He is smiling over the celebration of his people across this globe in languages that we can't even fathom. And he's coming back again. And if you ever wondered if Jesus is real, he's coming back in might and power. And here's what he's bringing with him: salvation in one hand. To all who have received his provision of eternal life, he's got blessing, honor, glory waiting for you like you cannot imagine. And yet he's going to clean house too. He's going to set all things right. And in the other hand, he's bringing judgment. And what I wonder, friend, what is he bringing for you? The other half of Romans 6:23, I didn't tell you yet. It says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's the thing about a gift. A gift is free. You cannot earn it. You can't deserve it. None of us is worthy. None of us can say, yeah, I look good enough. I deserve that. Not a bit. Grace means that God did for you what you could not do for yourself. That because of your sin, it cost God the gift of his own son. And yet he willingly and graciously did it because he loves you. Maybe you've never heard that before. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe you're here and you get that. Like what I just told you, God has led you to understand that before. You believe in Jesus. You believe he's the only way. You believe that you have eternal life. Then this must be a day of celebration for you. That you're eternity has been altered because God has intercepted you with his grace. Praise him. Maybe you're here and this is the first time that message is clicking and making sense to you. Maybe you're realizing that you are separated from God and under judgment, and the only hope you have this morning is Jesus. Or maybe here you used to believe in Jesus, but just stuff happened in life and you've gotten away from him. And what you would sense this morning is, I think it's time to come back. I've been searching out what the world has to offer, and it's not much. And it's time to come back to Jesus. Maybe you're even here this morning and you're interested, but you're not ready to commit to what I'm talking about today. That's fine too. But for the rest of you who are ready for a change, then I want to give you an opportunity right now. For those of you who are ready to assert your belief, your trust in Jesus, you don't want to come into judgment, but you want to pass from death to life. Or maybe you're here and you want to reaffirm that faith. It's been a while, but it's time to come back to him. For those of you who are looking for that change today, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to be bold and courageous and stand to your feet. invite you to do is stand your feet and come down to this water right here. Don't worry about the people that you're sitting with. They'll wait for you. I'd ask that no one leaves during this holy moment. I mean, if you're not walking down to the front to firm faith and trust in Jesus, then you'd be praying that God uses the powerful message of the gospel to change lives right here and right now. Just stand to your feet. Come on down. We'll wait for you. Everyone else will wait. Who might God be calling? Here in the white seats? Is that you? God's saying, I have life for you. I want you to have it. Maybe here in the green benches, is that you? Is God calling you and saying, don't come into judgment. I have hope. I want to change your life. Maybe you're up on the grass. Make the walk. We'll wait. If God's stirring in you and calling you to new life, then let today be the day. We have counselors down front here. They'd love to talk with you and pray with you, get you started in your new life with Christ. Anyone else? Stand and respond to the good news of Jesus and come. If that's you, just continue to stand and come as this song plays. I'll come back out after and we'll pray together. If God's calling you, you come. He's giving you this moment. There may not be another one. Don't pass up what